to the Lord our God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and abounding in steadfast love.
Because we're doing things in a rather different form this morning, you can be seated. Because usually we preach on the basis of a text, today we kind of do it backwards, and that is, the long reading of the gospel is ahead of us, and therefore I'm going to do what I'm calling roll call, calling attention to people and features that you're going to hear in this reading. So, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we hear the story of our Lord's Passion, and I'm calling it, as I said, roll call. The names of people other than Jesus himself who are in the story and reasons that we might notice something about them. And each of these people, there's also something that we learn about Jesus and are reminded of the gospel as we hear about these people. We find Jesus at dinner in the house of a man called Simon the leper. Think about that. Simon the leper. A leper can't be in any kind of social setting. So lepers were set aside. So what about Simon the leper? I think we can only understand to be Simon the ex-leper. Simon who probably was cured, healed by Jesus, and now has become a disciple who is hosting Jesus at the meal. George, you can very comfortably sit down. That'd be fine. Yeah. Thank you. Yep. And then an intruder. A woman is there, unnamed. The woman who anointed Jesus. Hers is an act of devotion. Think about that. And Jesus says that will live on through the church's history. What she has done will be told in remembrance of her. There's a point there for us, I think, and that is that there are people who give for all kind of reasons, out of guilt or whatever. But here is an act of devotion. And I think it is not possible to love without having an attitude of giving. That happens in our family life, you know, with your spouse or your children or your parents. Love means somehow giving. And her example lives on. And we arrive at the meal, in the upper room, and it tells us in this reading, Jesus is there with the 12. 12? 12? Because just a little earlier it told us already that Judas has arranged to betray him. And we know from what we have heard of the story before that when Jesus is arrested, they'll all take off. And Peter will follow him only long enough to deny three times that he knows him. This is not a bunch of the perfect. The meal is for sinners. The meal is for failed followers. The meal is for people who are all kind of frail and fragile and imperfect. The meal, friends, is for us. When Jesus is arrested, they all forsake him and flee. They have failed. They're gone from the story. The disciples do not appear again after they leave him in Gethsemane, except for Peter, who promised that he would not fall away. He comes back in the story, perhaps a moment of hope, but when he's asked, he denies even knowing Jesus. No connection. This one who will become the leader of the disciples has feet of clay, like every leader we have known. And Pilate is in the story. Pilate, who is the Roman governor, known to be a rather cruel governor, sympathetic, we're told in these readings, but too cowardly to say it. So he decides by listening to the loudest voices. And people are still suspicious of political figures. And Barabbas. Do not forget Barabbas. The guilty one, freed by the crucifixion of Jesus, Barabbas becomes kind of the model for all of us. The guilty set free, because the innocent goes to die. There's a hymn that says, a murderer they save, the prince of life they slay. Barabbas, the first of the guilty, saved by Christ's death. And one who is a very interesting figure, the one who carries the cross, Simon of Cyrene. Why does the gospel bother to inform us that he is the father of Alexander and Rufus? What purpose could that have unless the church knows Alexander and Rufus? Unless these people have become part of the community, the followers of Jesus. Simon of Cyrene, was he a disciple before, or did he become one, a believer, only after carrying the cross? We do not know. And did you notice who's still in the story when the disciples have left? Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. The last disciples in this story. The women who would also appear in the Easter story, ready to prepare the body for burial. A sad, a difficult, and essential task. And finally, Joseph of Arimathea. A member of the council, we are told, coming to claim the body. A bold request from one who seems to have been maybe a more or less subversive believer. Not known as such in the council until now. And a reminder still that not all who look for the kingdom of God are found in churches. For some it is a yearning held in their hearts, no sense of where their hunger can be filled. But above all, it is the story of Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross for you, that you might be set free to believe and to follow. Amen. And we read the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 14th and 15th chapters. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, for they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people."
While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. Ointment. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her, but Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there.' So the disciples set out, went to the city, and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal.
When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though all become deserters, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But he said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want."
He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him, there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked.
They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that can testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy!" The guards also took him over and beat him.
While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man you are talking about." At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept.
As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead.
Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him out of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified Jesus. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left.
Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, you would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom.
Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joses and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a well-respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus.
Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, saw where the body was laid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Christ. We continue with the hymn.
Thank you.